Welcome to AMA Edgewise. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. On today's program, co-producer Doug Sohn is behind the microphone.
Dick Martin was Executive Vice President of Public Relations, Employee Communications, and Brand Management for AT&T. Currently, Dick is a writer whose articles have appeared in publications such as the Harvard Business Review, and he has written a number of books including Rebuilding Brand America, Secrets of the Marketing Masters, and his latest, Otherwise, The Wisdom You Need to Succeed in a Diverse World. You can follow him on his blog, www.dickmartinblogs.com. And there is a book website, othrws.com.
That's right. It's Otherwise without the vowels. You could read excerpts from the book, the introduction, the first chapter. It's a roadmap of the book, the subjects it covers. And I try to use the blog to update people on developments that might have occurred since I finished a book and published it.
Okay, so the main theme of Otherwise is that business people need to better understand people unlike themselves. Why is that more important now than it has been in the past?
It's more important now because the world is more diverse, or maybe a better way to say it is the world's diversity is lumpier and it's harder to miss it. You just have to look at how the demography of the United States is changing. And globalization has given companies new goals and changed the way they're doing business. 50% of the sales of the S&P 500 come from products that are made and sold overseas. And new technologies have changed the way we get information. These days, you can filter information so you only see the opinions and the thinking that you agree with. That's contributed to the growing divisiveness in society. A combination of all these forces and others has made it more important than ever for business people especially to understand how to relate to people who are unlike themselves, because more and more, everybody is unlike the people who run American businesses.
I run the Twitter feed here at the AMA, and I just noticed this huge influx of international followers. So in some ways, it's very diverse, but in other ways, it seems like we're much closer than we ever were before.
Well, it's paradoxical. New technologies have made the world smaller, but in a sense, they've also made us smaller. Back in the olden days, which is to say the late 1990s, 60% of Americans used to get most of their news from the television network news broadcasts at night. And if you looked at the audience makeup of those broadcasts, it pretty much mirrored the politics of the country. Today, only 30% of people get their news from the three big networks. Most people get their news from cable. And the cable companies, just like politicians, have tumbled to the fact that they can differentiate themselves by appealing to the beliefs and the opinions of different segments of the audience. So if you look at the audience for Fox News, for example, it's largely conservative and Republican. If you look at MSNBC, more than half of it is Democrat and liberal, and so on down the line. So it's very important to understand why people believe what they believe, why they have the opinions they have, and to realize that cultures are very different. People have different aspirations, different values, and to understand those aspirations and values.
Recently, there have been some statistics that the cable TV audience is now eroding, especially with the younger generation that never watches television, and they're consuming everything online.
40% of people get news from the internet. And what comes in my email is not always the most thoughtful and balanced view of what's going on in the world. Because of the internet, you can really filter news and just participate in communities of like-minded people who share your beliefs and your passions. It's very important to understand that that's going on. And if you're a company that is trying to market products and services or hiring people, managing people, you have to understand that this is the world they live in. And that to some extent, that's affecting the way you as an individual look at other people as well.
Now, you mention in the book the fragmentation of American society.
That's right.
I guess the common wisdom is this is the great melting pot. But what's different now?
People used to think that the melting pot produced a great consommé where everything was exactly the same. It's really producing more like a stew where people acculturate to the dominant culture at different rates. Some people keep the culture that they brought from their home country for a generation or two generations. Other people become as American as somebody who was born here in a relatively short period of time. It's a very lumpy process. It's an uneven process. And it's important not to think that assimilation is total and instantaneous. Assimilation goes at different rates for different people. It can even go backwards at times for some groups of people. And American culture itself is changing. Four states right now already have minority-majority populations. That is, non-Hispanic whites are the minority. It's the same is true of about a dozen major metropolitan areas, including the 23 counties that make up the New York metropolitan area. By 2042, the whole country will be a minority-majority country. That doesn't mean that we're going to be less than we used to be, but we're going to be something new and different and in some ways much better. But it's a mistake to think it's always going to be the way it used to be. You know, in the 1980s, when companies turned towards the global markets, they quickly discovered that they didn't really know how to sell things in China. P&G, which is probably the most innovative marketer in the world, went into China, gave themselves 3 years to figure out what to do, decided they were going to manufacture Tide detergent in China, bought a factory from the government, and started cranking it up to produce detergent. And then somewhere along the line, they sent a researcher to test ads. And when she tested the ads, she discovered the Chinese weren't interested in getting their clothes whiter and brighter. They just wanted to get them clean. Whiteness and brightness wasn't something that mattered to them. But they were very concerned about dandruff. They weren't willing to pay more for a laundry detergent, but they were willing to pay a lot for a shampoo that would prevent dandruff. She brought this information back to the folks in Cincinnati, and they changed their plan. The first product they came out with was a shampoo.
So Head and Shoulders.
Exactly. And it was very successful. They started putting researchers in the homes of ordinary Chinese people to watch how they washed their hair, how they changed their baby, how they brushed their teeth, how they washed their clothes. And it was based on that firsthand experience of Chinese daily life that they began their planning for the products that they would introduce into that country. So the first toothpaste they introduced, for example, wasn't minty fresh. It was jasmine tea flavored because they found out that in Chinese culture, people think tea cures bad breath and jasmine is the most popular flavor of tea. Today, P&G is the number one consumer products company in China, leading in four of the seven categories they compete in. Unilever, which is a great competitor of Procter & Gamble, is following many of the same precepts in markets like India. American Express is a great company in this regard. General Electric seems to understand how to capitalize on the diversity of its workforce. But what's happening now is that American marketers are going to discover that the U.S. market is as foreign to them today as China was in the 1980s. And they have to do the same kind of on-the-ground learning about their new consumers.
Interesting. So it's looking at different slices of American consumers?
Exactly. It's trying to find the intersection of your company's competencies and consumers' needs, values, and aspirations. And what some marketers have discovered is that they can learn a lot from what they used to think of as ethnic markets. McDonald's, for example, began offering some products that were tailored to the Hispanic market in Los Angeles, which is heavily Hispanic. And the product was also available in Laguna Beach, which doesn't have a very big Hispanic population. McDonald's was surprised to find that this new product they introduced was doing as well in Laguna Beach as it was doing in Los Angeles. And then they noticed the same thing was happening with some Asian products that they had introduced into Asian neighborhoods that spilled over into neighborhoods that weren't primarily Asian. And African-American promotions were very popular in areas with relatively small African-American populations. They realized that people of ethnicities are trendsetters in the mainstream American market. Now McDonald's says it leads with ethnic insight. It's learning in these ethnic markets what the mainstream culture values and is looking for.
Yeah, I think food is very interesting because you could almost say as the palate changes, well, that's indicative of how other products have to change.
The key thing about our culture that differentiates it from other cultures is it's always in flux. It's very open to stealing from other cultures and learning from people of different backgrounds, different countries. Marketers have to be sensitive to that and realize that the people they're selling to, people they're recruiting and managing, are not like the people who live next door. They're quite different, and they need to educate themselves on that.
Now, do you have some steps that you suggest businesses take?
Yeah, the first step is to really understand yourself. We all have unconscious biases that we're not aware of that affect our decisions and affect the way we relate to other people. In fact, there's a project at Harvard called Project Implicit, where you can take an online test to see just what your unconscious biases are. And you may find out that you are unconsciously biased against people of color, people who are overweight, people of a different sexual orientation than yourself. We all have some of these unconscious biases. And the first thing we need to do is get those out in the open, confront them, and realize that they're there so you can be sensitive to them as they arise. The second thing is try to increase your literacy of people who are not like yourself. Americans know very little about the rest of the world, not only in geography, but in news. We don't know what's going on in France other than the president there just lost an election. We don't know much more than that. Well, you can read about the elections in France online at the website of the leading newspaper in France, Le Monde. Google will translate it for you. It's not the world's best translation, but it'll give you an idea of what the public discourse, the conversation is like in France. Try to pay more attention to what's going on outside our borders. Expand your worldview. Increase your religious literacy. Increase your cultural literacy. When you travel internationally, don't stay in a U.S. chain hotel. Stay in a local hotel. Eat in the local restaurants. We can do a lot to improve our global mindset. The third thing, which is probably the most important, is we simply should refuse to support people who are intolerant, who demonize other people. At the most basic level, that means things like not putting up with racist or sexist jokes, because it literally demeans other people. It robs them of their individuality. We should refuse to tolerate demonizing other people, questioning their patriotism or their honesty. We ought to call other people on it, and we ought to make sure that we don't do it ourselves. So those three things, which any individual can do, will help them become much more otherwise, much more sensitive to other people.
And once you understand these markets and the differences, you can build products and services and better react and adapt and keep ahead of your competitors.
Absolutely. You know, it's a tremendous opportunity because all of these markets are changing, and the companies that succeed are the companies that understand the market better. You really have to be in touch with culture because that's at the intersection of people's needs, aspirations, and values. That's where you can understand a market.
Right. If you're not tuned into this, it could really hurt your business.
Oh, absolutely. It has a lot to do with who you recruit and how you manage them once they're working for your company, how you lead your company. The companies that succeed are going to be the companies that have leaders who are otherwise, who know how to manage people of different backgrounds, how to not only tolerate diversity, which is probably the most minimal requirement, but how to capitalize on diversity. There's a long line of studies that show that diverse groups are more creative, get more done, and get it done faster than groups of people who all think the same way. Smart business leaders recognize this need and are responding to it. Society as a whole is moving in the direction of valuing diversity. You know, one out of every 7 marriages today is interracial or between non-Hispanics and Hispanics. So we're getting there. We'll get there a lot faster and a lot easier, though, if people pay attention to the need.
We've been speaking with Dick Martin. His latest book is Otherwise, The Wisdom You Need to Succeed in a Diverse World, published by AMICOM, a division of the American Management Association. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Doug. Thanks.
Today's business climate adds a new layer of uncertainty and accountability, making performance management even tougher to navigate. AMA has developed a new seminar, Performance Management, Minimizing Stress, Maximizing Effectiveness, which gives new managers a time-tested roadmap for developing and reviewing performance that aligns with rapidly changing priorities and organizational goals. For more information on this seminar, visit our website, amanet.org, and type 2822 into the search box. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. You've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.